going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back. This is episode 460 of the NYYST podcast. We're presented by NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian, and I'm with my co-host, Sem.
What's up?
Bro, you still smell like the George Washington Bridge.
I was stuck on it for a little bit, so I definitely do stink like it.
Sem is straight from Yankee Stadium into his recording studio here as he attended most of the doubleheader here on Sunday. Yanks did sweep that doubleheader against the Toronto Blue Jays. But before we get into everything that happened with the Yankees in this Toronto series, please subscribe to the NYYST podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You're listening to us on that platform right now. So when the show's over, if you haven't done so already, hit subscribe. Tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. And if you're not also subscribed to NYY Underground on YouTube, please do so as well. We'll be back live on Thursday to break down everything that happened with the Orioles series, which is a little bit of a weird scheduling thing here with the Yankees, that they came home for three games to go on the road for three games to just then go back home next weekend.
Yeah, they got a day off on Thursday. Are they off on Thursday?
They are off on Thursday, but it's just It's a little scheduling quirk here. I don't get it. I don't know why they wouldn't just send them to Baltimore before sending them back home here for a longer homestand, but that's just kind of how it is. But the Yankees, go ahead.
6:35 starts too.
Yeah, so that's a little bit better than the 6. So I should be done eating by then. I know I said last episode that those 6 o'clock starts kind of threw me off, but usually done eating by 6:30, so we could kind of get right into the flow of the game here. But the Yankees, they swept the doubleheader today. They could have really played, I'm saying today, but you guys will be listening to this on Monday morning. We're recording here at 8:30. The Yankees finished up game two about a half hour ago. They really could have played through the game on through the weather on Saturday. I live in North Jersey. It rained hard a couple of times, but mostly they could have probably gotten through that if they really wanted to, especially how they forced the Yankees to play through that Friday night in against the San Francisco Giants a couple weeks ago. But they decided to postpone the game, and then they played a doubleheader today, which, you know, the Yankees pitching did a really good job today. Max Fried allowed one run over 6. Clark Schmidt allowed one run over 5. The Yankees blew it open on game 1, so they didn't need the bullpen. And then in game 2, they kind of went to what is going to be the back end of their bullpen going forward here with Hill, Leiter, Cruz, and Weaver as they won 5-1. So if you're saying, well, that's the back end. Yeah, well, that's the back end of the bullpen now, because the Yankees could have actually swept this entire series had it not been for Devin Williams on Friday night. The Yankees took a 2-1 lead going into the ninth inning there. They really were, the offense was kind of quiet, but they did scrape across a run there in the eighth inning. They put Devin Williams on the mound, and it was ugly. He allowed 3 earned runs without allowing an out. There were chants of "We want Weaver" ringing throughout a sold-out Yankee Stadium on Friday night, and the Yankees ended up dropping that game 4-2. And then, you know, they at post-game, they weren't really committing to anything. Then Boone spoke yesterday, Saturday, before, you know, after the game was canceled, not really committing to anything. And then today, before the game started, he said that Devin Williams is no longer the closer, but then said, for now, it's going back to Luke Weaver. But he's also not going to be shy about putting Weaver into high leverage spots earlier in the game. It's a move that had to be made. It's early. I get it. You don't want to demote guys, have them lose their jobs towards the end of April. But the guy's pitching to an 11.25 ERA. He looks like somebody that has absolutely no confidence out there on the mound right now. And the fans have turned against him. It's an ugly situation. You could not put him back out on the mound as a closer in any of these remaining games against the Blue Jays. You certainly can't do it again next weekend. You got to put some distance in between this last outing and him being the closer again. And I made a video on Friday, and I said maybe 15 scoreless outings, and that might be the magic number there. It's going to be a while, and it has to be a while before we see Devin Williams as a closer again.
Yeah, I mean, I saw him being interviewed after the game. And they were asking him, how does that make you feel that the fans are chanting, we want Weaver? And he said, I have no opinion on it. I think it was a cheap cop-out. I think he just needs to own up to it and say, yeah, that sucks. I don't want to hear that. It just didn't instill any confidence in me, knowing that he was supposed to be one of the best closers in the game. And here he is, choking, night in and night out. One good performance of a thing we've gotten out of him. And it's just dreadful watching him. Again, we went through this last year with Clay Holmes. And it's like PTSD. You don't want to go through this again. And I found myself when he was coming into that game the other day, and I just, here we go, is what I said. And not even, you know, 10 minutes later, you know, game over. It's just, I'm surprised that Boone actually made the move, though, because usually he's pretty stubborn. I feel the Yankees organization itself is pretty stubborn, and they try to just, you know, shove Williams down our throat for the next, you know, 2 to 3 months before they finally come up with like a mysterious injury to him. He has a lat strain and he's going on the IL, and that's why he's been pitching so bad. But kudos to them for actually, you know, having some balls and doing what needed to be done.
It is a little curious that it happened this early in the season. Like you said, it would have, being the Yankees and being how stubborn they are about things, you wouldn't have been totally surprised if they had let this linger another couple weeks, maybe even months, before making a move. But the Yankees also hear the noise. They heard 40,000 people chanting, "We want Weaver," on Friday night. And you have to, you know, Devin Williams has a very interesting history in his brief time here with the New York Yankees. This is a guy that thought he was going to the Dodgers, the defending world champions, the team that added everybody in the offseason after winning a World Series. And then Brian Cashman swooped in there, sweetened the pot a little bit, got Devin Williams, and now he's a Yankee. Okay, maybe he didn't want to be a Yankee. Maybe he wanted to be a Dodger. Maybe he wanted to be another Infinity Stone on the Dodgers' gauntlet there. And then he comes to New York, and then he's, I had to shave. I'm sad. I don't have a beard anymore. So the Yankees do something they never do. They bowed to the player and said, here, after 50 years, now you guys can have beards. And he still seems like a guy that's just not happy to be here. And the performance on the field, here's the thing with Yankee fans. All that other stuff doesn't matter if you perform on the field. But he hasn't done so. His first initial appearance as a Yankee, he nearly blew the game on opening day. We get through it. Okay, whatever. You want to say form? We talked about that former team. who knows him better, you know, the nervousness of first time at Yankee Stadium, all that. And then it just never really improved. And he had those four straight scoreless outings, and we thought, okay, now well, maybe we're seeing Devin Williams. And then bang, he blew the game in Tampa. He blew the game against the Blue Jays. And he almost blew that game against the – it was the Tigers, the game against the Tigers that the Yankees won when Max Fried went out there and really set the tone of what he is going to do as the ace of his staff this year. And he almost blew that game because he allowed three earned runs in that game as well. So it's been ugly, and I think the Yankees are now in a – and here's the difference between last year and this year that I'll say for the Yankees of why they really waited so long for Clay Holmes before giving Luke Weaver the job. Luke Weaver's established himself now. Luke Weaver didn't really establish himself early on in 2024. The Yankees needed to see whether or not that small sample size was going to extrapolate across an entire season where he could be trusted getting the biggest outs in the ninth inning. Because you got to remember, Luke Weaver was a waiver claim in 2023. He was re-signed in the offseason to be kind of a six-man, you know, swing starter, you know, long guy in the bullpen type. The Yankees weren't envisioning him being their most trusted reliever. So now they know that Luke Weaver can do the job. So that means that it gives the Yankees the ability to have a quicker hook with Devin Williams than it would have with Clay Holmes last year. So I do commend the Yankees in recognizing that they have a guy that's done this, led you through the playoffs, into the World Series, that let's not blow any more games right now. Because the Yankees had...
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's always tough to sit there and truly say a one-run game is a guaranteed win. But you like to believe when you put your closer on the mound with a lead in the ninth inning, that's a game you're going to win more times than not. But certainly a 4-run lead with your closer on the mound in the ninth inning is a game that we talked about. You should be able to turn the TV off, continue your day, and know the Yankees won that game. So the Yankees were smart enough to realize, hey, listen, we know we got this guy out here. He's pitching to a 0 ERA this year. He did this for us last year. Let's not complicate the process here. Let's see what's wrong with Devin Williams, and let's figure it out from there and let Luke Weaver close out from now on.
Yeah, well, and the fans didn't know last year that Luke Weaver was what Luke Weaver was, you know. So no one was chanting in the very beginning to get Clay Holmes out of there. I mean, I think we were all waiting for him to put it together, which really just never really came to fruition. And then, Luke Weaver earned that spot. You know, he worked and he got them outs and he got that job. You know, this year it was basically taken from him by Devin Williams, and it's a lot easier just to give him the job back too. You know, so they know what they have, and it's a lot easier to make that decision, and it's easier on the fans, because then if you know you take out Devin Williams, he's supposed to be the hot new, you know, the hot new pitcher in the bullpen, and then you give it up to Luke Weaver, and Luke Weaver starts vomiting on himself on the mound. Then they know the fans are going to be equally as pissed. Like, why didn't you pull out, you know, get rid of Weaver, put in Williams, et cetera, et cetera. But they know what they have in Weaver. And Williams is too much of an unknown right now. He just looks, he looks dreadful. He looks, like you said, he looks like he doesn't want to be here. I never watched many Devin Williams interviews, but the guy just looks like someone shot his puppy. It's not, you know, just boring.
Yeah, and that's the problem with Devin Williams, is he looks disinterested too. And I don't know, again, how many, we've always said this, how many Devin Williams in Milwaukee Brewer baseball have you watched? For Yankee fans, the majority of that came in the wild card series against the Mets last year. And, you know, I keep hearing from people, Pete Alonso broke Devin Williams. Maybe. He's not been the same guy since that home run, that's for certain. You know? So it remains to be seen if he's ever going to pick it back up. But the fans love Luke Weaver. Luke Weaver came onto the scene last year. He's got a quirky personality. And so he's beloved by the fan base because he's not just one of these corporate drones that go out there and just, you know, fall into the business-minded aspect of what the Yankees try to be, you know, that corporate mindset. He's, you know, he has these interviews. He calls himself a jungle cat. He's dumping his face in Saratoga water on opening day after that video goes viral. So the fans know he's got a lovable personality. He's the underdog. We took him out from obscurity, turned him into this, you know, a big time closer. And then you bring in the shiny new toy to take the job away from Luke Weaver. So naturally you pissed off a good portion of his fan base because Luke Weaver did nothing to deserve having that job taken away from him, but it did. And you know what? In fairness to the Yankees, they did nothing wrong in this situation either. If Devin Williams is available and the price tag for Devin Williams is Nestor Cortez, and now you have a back end of the bullpen of Luke Weaver and Devin Williams, you're going to do that 10 times out of 10 times. So a lot of fans say to me, oh, why do we even have to go and get a closer when we have Luke Weaver? Because you're trying to build a super bullpen, have something become a true strength that teams can't match, and having Luke Weaver and Devin Williams back-to-back. So I have no issue with the Yankees doing that. And it cost you Nestor Cortez. How many times are you going to sit there and regret trading Nestor Cortez? Honestly. Especially now with hindsight being what it is, that Nestor's hurt again. And the sweetener was Caleb Durbin, I'm sorry, right? What is he going to be at the major league level? We don't know. Is he going to be more like an Oswaldo Cabrera type, you know, a nice utility player that can fill in here and there? I don't really think his ceiling is much higher than that. So if that's what it cost you to get one of the game's top closers, you're doing it 10 out of 10 times. And, you know, it sucks that that happened to Luke Weaver, but Luke Weaver's a big enough, a big boy, and he can handle himself and understands that, hey, I'll set up for Devin Williams. This is a strength of this team now. You know, we got the bat in situations in certain games. You have the last three innings of the game covered with Luke Weaver and Devin Williams. So there's no reason that you don't go out there and make that move. But when Devin Williams comes in here and vomits all over himself, now you got the fans that never wanted Luke Weaver to lose the job in the first place, chanting his name, clamoring for him, especially when he's gone out there and allowed exactly zero runs this season. So the Yankees had to make this move. They had to get Devin Williams out of their closer role and put Luke Weaver back in. You know, we always say on this show, smarter Yankees, and sometimes the Yankee thing to do is to be stubborn and force feed you Devin Williams, but the Yankees did the smart thing here. They took Devin Williams out of the closer role. They put the guy in that a lot of the fan base, myself included, would have been perfectly fine with entering the season with as the closer. So now we have to just figure out what exactly is wrong with Devin Williams. Can he be salvaged? Because you got to remember, it's a one-year deal. He's a free agent at the end of the year. If he never puts it together, it sucks, but you live with it. Because if you look at this bullpen now, where you have Tim Hill, and Mark Leiter Jr. Yeah, and Mark Leiter Jr. A lot of you guys got to start putting a little bit of respect on Mark Leiter Jr.'s name. And Fernando Cruz, and Ian Hamilton, and Jonathan Loaisiga started a rehab assignment. So it's a big if, I know that, but if he's healthy, along with Luke Weaver, do you even really need Devin Williams? It's nice to have it, becomes an additional luxury, but this bullpen is fine without him. And if he wants to pout and be terrible and only pitch in 7-1 games, I think the Yankees can survive without it. As terrible as that might sound, you know, that you're kind of giving up on him, I don't think it's a luxury to have Devin Williams at the back end of the bullpen right now with the guys that they have here, because the guys that they have here are doing a pretty good job right now. But a lot of that is also contingent on Jonathan Loaisiga coming back and being healthy. Again, that's a big if. That he can survive an entire season or even survive this rehab assignment without getting hurt again.
Yeah, I think Loaisiga is the key piece, you know, here. Because once, if he comes back, he's healthy, he could stay healthy. I mean, it's almost lights out. And then, like you said, Devin Williams just becomes the cherry on top. But you know what? You have that flexibility where if he's not performing and producing to the point where he should be, you're not in a bad predicament because you still have an amazing bullpen. They brought him. Nobody at the end of the season. Nobody was looking for an additional closer. We all thought that we found our closer, and everybody just wanted, you know, let's shore things up with Luke Weaver or whatever's going on here, whatever, yada yada yada. But that's kind of probably half the issue why people are just pissed off so much at Devin Williams, because nobody wanted that. But he's here, and he needs to produce. And the Yankees, like I said, did the right thing. I'm very surprised that they did. I'm like at a loss of words. I really thought we would be looking at Devin Williams, you know, 10 blown saves before they made a move. So I give them a pat on the back. I'm glad they did what they had to do. And we need to move on, and we need to win some games, and we can't end up just throwing away. I mean, he wasn't even touching the plate. You know what I'm saying? It's not like it was bad contact, or, you know, there was errors that led to this, to that. It's just the guy couldn't even, he was just walking people, and it's just trash. Like, he's got a fundamental issue. Something's going on, or he is hurt, and they just haven't told us yet, but That's not an elite closer that I was told that we got.
Well, he's been anything but that. And the last thing I want to touch on here with Devin Williams, because we don't have a ton of time tonight, and there's a couple other things that I want to get to about Devin Williams, is that some fairly prominent personalities in this space did not like the fans chanting, "We want Weaver." They felt it was rooting against the Yankees. Listen, let me tell you something here. I'm not going to get excited here, but I'll tell you this. It doesn't make any of those people less of a fan. It doesn't make, you know, you a bad person if you were chanting for Luke Weaver on Friday night. Because I'll tell you something right now. Devin Williams came here with a lot of fanfare about being, if not the best, one of the best closers in all of Major League Baseball. I mean, it's him or Class A, who also lost his job, by the way. So it's not a year. It's not a, been a good start to the season for the two best closers in baseball. Okay, he came in here with a lot of expectations, and the Yankees went out of their way to make him happy. Okay, don't tell me that that beard policy isn't a big deal, because it is. It's a 50-year-old standing rule that the Yankees had for their players. He came in here and he whined about having to shave. And the Yankees, wanting to get the best out of him, said, okay, no more beard policy. So if you're going to be the guy that gets a fifth to be the one guy in 50 years, because remember, Lou Piniella, this is a famous story. Lou Piniella asked George Steinbrenner why they can't have long hair, because Jesus had long hair. And George Steinbrenner famously told Lou Piniella, when he pointed to a lake wherever they were at, it might have been down at spring training, but he pointed to a lake and he says, when you can walk across that like Jesus did, then you can have long hair. Okay? So take that to 50 years later, and everybody that's been in this Yankee organization, and for some reason, Devin Williams was the one guy that this front office and this ownership group decided that they were going to change the policy for. You better be perfect, especially when you get that policy change, and we have a guy that we all love in that bullpen throwing up zero after zero after zero. You better be perfect or close to it. So I don't blame one single Yankee fan for chanting Wee Juan Weaver, and it doesn't make you any less of a fan if you did that, okay? Because that's an indictment on Devin Williams. It doesn't mean you're rooting against Devin Williams. It doesn't mean you're rooting against the Yankees. It's just that you're putting him on notice that we know what you did. We know what job you took away from our guy, and we're letting you know that you better be better than this.
Well said. That's all I can really add to that, because I'll just repeat exactly what you just said.
So two other things that I kind of want to get into in the remaining time that we have here tonight, and that's a guy that nearly caused me to lose my life on the last episode, Anthony Volpe. My God, we spent, almost a half an hour on him, and my heart rate was still over 100 deep into the night after we stopped recording. That's how emotional and excited I got during that segment. And the Yankees, Kay said today during the game that the Yankees felt something, quote, clicked with Anthony Volpe during batting practice on Friday. Now, Volpe had a hit, and he had a couple good at-bats outside of the hit on Friday. And then today he had four hits in the doubleheader, including a home run. So maybe he's breaking out of this, but here's my worry with Anthony Volpe. And I'll say this again. Is something clicking with Anthony Volpe, or are we just due for this 10-day heater that he goes on every so often, and then at the end of the 10 days, he's going back into the toilet for 6 weeks?
Yeah, it's the unknown with him, because it seems like this is what he does every year now. I mean, look, for the past two, this is the third year. And you just got to hope that it's a lot of hoping. We don't know. What are we getting here? I didn't really see what – I know he hit a home run today. Obviously, where I'm sitting, I can't see everything that you see when you're on TV, so I can't really speak to today too much. But I know he got the four hits. I know he got thrown out trying to steal second in the second game.
He got thrown out also on Friday, so I don't know what he's doing. I like to see him running, and I'm almost going to take – him getting thrown out because I want to see that aggressive side of him on the bases. But he's obviously got to start making some of these here.
He's having a little bit of an issue, especially as what Aaron Boone's referred to him as a base stealing guru, I believe. And, can't be getting picked off, trying to steal second. I don't think he's as fast as we all were sold on either. But, if he starts hitting and he gets on base, he's willing to steal, and it just adds to the game. It adds to the threat, puts the pressure on the pitcher. You need him hitting. You need him on base. I don't even care if he hits. Just get a friggin' walk. Drop the K. The K rate has to go down. It's plain and simple with him. Even if you start getting some at-bats where you're battling the guy and, raising up the pitch count, you know, can't go up there and strike out and could cost him two pitches. You know what I'm saying? It's just, he's just not up to his potential either. I'm hoping he's turning the corner, and we'll see over the next few days.
Look, I'm rooting like hell for him to get this, to figure this out and become a consistent major league hitter. I'm not rooting against Anthony Volpe. If you joined us for our last episode, I did show and tell. So you guys understand, I'm not rooting against Anthony Volpe in the slightest. I want him to do this. I desperately want him to do this. I speak out against him because he's not doing it. Combined with the way the Yankees hyped him, leaves a sour taste in your mouth. But again, this is like Carlos Rodon that we spoke on last episode. Is Carlos Rodon's two good starts in a row a precursor of him now turning the corner and being the number two that we need him to be? Or is this just more Jekyll and Hyde with Carlos Rodon? Okay. The same thing with Anthony Volpe. Something, quote, clicked, according to Kay. The Yankees said something clicked with him. He had 5 hits in the last 3 games. He had 4 hits in a doubleheader today. So it looks like he's turning a corner, a famous Boonism, turning the corner. But again, am I trusting him that he's actually turning the corner? Or is this, again, another 10 to 14 day heater that Anthony Volpe gets on where he dangles the carrot in front of you and he tells you, hey, I'm that guy. I'm Anthony Volpe. I'm the former number one prospect. Remember me? And then we're going to see him go on a disappearing act for 5 or 6 weeks. I don't know. And that's what makes me nervous. And that's why I can't get totally excited when he gets hot, when he starts to look like he's going to get hot. So if he does it for 2 or 3 months instead of, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, then maybe we can have a different conversation. But at least for right now, after the way I've ranted and raved about, you know, ranted and went completely berserk, basically, on the last episode about him, to have him come out in the next series look like he looks like a competent major league hitter again, it's a promising thing to see. And then let's see where it goes from here.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want him to fail. And I think that one of the reasons that we're more so hard on Volpe, too, is because of the Yankees story and what they sold to us. He's the hometown kid, but he's not from New York. He's really from Jersey. He's not from far from where we live and where we grew up. So to him, he really is the hometown guy, and we want him to do good. So, yeah, we're going to be a little bit harder on him because we're not just, you know, emotionally invested in him because he's a Yankee. We're emotionally invested in him because he's another Jersey kid, and we want to see people from Jersey. I think everybody, if you're from Ohio and you got an Ohio kid doing good, you're going to want to see the Ohio kid do good. It's just the nature of the element, you know, of what's going on here. So, yeah, we in no way, shape, or form want Anthony Volpe to fail. We want him to be the greatest, you know, shortstop in Yankee history because he would be a guy from our backyard. And it's a great story to tell. But, you know, it's just been, you know, the proof's in the pudding, you know, or, you know, whatever you want to say. It's just been his MO to go out, get streaky, get on a heater, and then just fall off the face of the earth time in, time again, you know. So it's not that it just – he gets hot and because we don't have a big sample size. He's only been here for 2 years. But, no, he does this, you know, one – you know, every so many games is like a cycle with him.
So we just got this quote in from Devin Williams in the postgame about losing the closer role. And he said – I want to read this real quick. It says, with the way things have gone recently, it's not really a shock to me. Being the closer is a position you have to earn, and you have to keep earning it to continue to be in the role. So lately, I haven't been doing that. It's disappointing. You work for years to get to that point, to have it taken away from you. It's not a fun feeling at all, but I can't say it's undeserved.
At least he's owning it.
I mean, what else is he going to say in that at that point? You have to own it. I mean, it's what has he done? If he would have came out here with something delusional, I would have said to you, listen, I understand you're tired. You got things to do. Sign off. And I'd go off on it for the next 20 minutes. But congratulations to him that he at least understands that he hasn't earned this role right now.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
That somebody else can do it better. And until he figures out what's wrong with him, or the Yankees figure out what's wrong with him, he doesn't deserve to be in that situation. That you can't be the last line of defense. That's why the closer role is so important. Boone can say that, oh, I might not hesitate to put Weaver in big situations earlier in the game. But you got to understand, once you play that card, you have no defense in case something blows up. You know, if you want to try to get through the game without Luke Weaver, you know, let's in the seventh, eighth, ninth inning, and then something goes wrong, you can always deploy that. But if you deploy Luke Weaver in, say, the seventh because, you know, Vlad Guerrero's up with two on and nobody out and you're trying to protect a one-run lead, and then you get through it, and then you're in the ninth inning with a one-run lead, and say, you know, Ian Hamilton's your last guy out there, and he bombs out, and then, you know, I don't even know who's left out there. Who's the guy they called up today? What the hell is his name?
Yuri
De Los Santos. Yes. So he's probably going down at the end of the game. But a player of that, you know, or let's say Ryan Yarbrough is the last line of defense. That's why saving your closer is also important. You don't want to be in that situation where you've deployed all your top guys and you, especially the top guy earlier in the game, and then if somebody lower on the pecking order doesn't get it done, you don't have that ace in the hole to pull out. So I do credit Devin Williams for kind of owning it there and taking responsibility for being terrible, because honestly, I don't know how it would have worked out for him had he not done that.
We would have hated his guts if he tried to pass the buck on to someone else or something else. So,
I mean, what's he going to say? I don't feel comfortable with my being clean shaven, because you can't say that. He made sure of that, by the way. And again, I think that's a lot of the reason why he's getting the vitriol from the fans right now.
What would he say? Maybe he's throwing his changeup too much or something like that, trying to make that excuse a week or so ago, whatever it was.
And a lot of fans wanted the beard policy change, but you can't be the guy that is the catalyst for it and be this bad. Whether fans wanted it or not, if you're one of the fans that wanted it or not, he can't be the guy that caused the change and be this bad. You have to earn the right to get a rule changed, which he hasn't done so far.
Exactly. No, it's just been a big letdown. It sucks.
I'll say this in the couple of minutes we have left here. Who has not been a big letdown has been Max Fried, who was, I don't want to say the word outstanding because it was a struggle for him early on in the game. He did not have his A-plus stuff today. But what he did today was once again prove to everybody why he's the ace of the New York Yankees. He did not have his A-plus stuff at all today, but still found a way to get through six innings and only allow one earned run. And if we're being fair about it, if Oswaldo Cabrera makes the throw to first base, he doesn't allow any runs. And here's how he truly proved to you that he's the ace of the New York Yankees right here. What do you want the ace to do more than anything besides pitching an ace-level performance, right? Besides doing that, you want him on the mound when you need a win. You want him on the mound to erase the dirt in your mouth feeling of losing the previous game, especially when you've lost in such spectacular fashion like they've lost in the last two times that Devin Williams pitched that was preceded by Max Fried's starts. So this today was the third consecutive start that Max Fried has made following a Yankee loss. Okay? Max Fried, in those three starts, has pitched 20 and two-thirds innings, and he's allowed one run. That's an ace. That's an ace right there. I don't need to say any more. Your ace stops losing streaks. Your ace, after a loss, goes out there and puts it all on the mound and says, if we lose today, it's not because I didn't do my job. Even today, you watched him and can say it wasn't until the fifth or sixth inning that he really gained his control, when he was really locating and pinpointing his pitches where he wanted to. He got through the first inning, four innings of this game just on guts, pretty much, and that ace mentality that he has. And if you listen to him in the postgame, he's not Gerrit Cole. He doesn't have the personality that Gerrit Cole has. But what he is every bit the competitor and every bit the dog that you want on the mound that Gerrit Cole is. And I am telling you right now, man, it really sucks that Gerrit Cole is not here to ride with him this year, because these two together would be cinema. But it's been absolutely a joy in the first month of the season to watch Max Fried pitch for the New York Yankees. And I am so happy that he's here. I'm so happy. Again, he's here because we don't have Juan Soto, and that sucks. But, I mean, if you're telling me my consolation prize for losing Juan Soto has been Max Fried, how can I complain about that?
No. I didn't, you know, normally you see an error and all that stuff happen in the very first inning. What was that? That was the first play. I think I just sat down when that had happened. And I felt confident, you know, we'll pull through this because Fried was on the mound. Fried's just going to highlight the fact that we don't have a real third baseman. You know, with his ground ball right to third, and Oswaldo getting errors here, you know, seems like almost every game lately. He's going to highlight things like that. And the team around him, they need to figure out what the hell is going on at third base, because that sucks to do that to him. Because then, you know, it's that many more innings consecutively without giving up a run. But the guy's lights out. It's pretty cool, like I said. But I couldn't. I had to go. I just got home, so I didn't even get to look at the highlights from the game and check out the pitches. I was watching them on MLB, seeing where they were landing, you know. But like I said, I'm pretty confident when he takes the mound.
Well, you mentioned third base, and we'll just hit a couple quick injury notes before we get out of here. DJ LeMahieu is hitting 600 on his rehab assignment. I mean, I'd be stunned if he just wasn't given the job when this rehab assignment is over, especially because you've seen Oswaldo's been decent. I mean, he's been pretty good. He's hitting around like 290, and he gets to everything, but his throwing accuracy has been a little bit off, and I don't think the Yankees do want him there all year. So, unfortunately, it does look like we're going to see DJ LeMahieu come back and play third base for the Yankees. And also, after his first initial setback, Luis Gil, I haven't heard an update post this initial update, but before the game started today, Boone said that Luis Gil was scheduled to begin his throwing program today, so that's always good to see. We got to get him back on the mend here and back on the mound as soon as possible. But the Yankees are heading. It was a quick homestand to basically do some laundry and hit back out on the road here. All 6:35 starts in Baltimore. Baltimore is struggling. They're 10-17, so the Yankees need to go down there and take care of business. And the rotation for the Yankees in Baltimore will be as follows. It's going to be Warren, Rodon, and Carlos Carrasco. So the Yankees just need to go out there and continue to play some good baseball, hit some home runs, win a couple of games, and then come back home against Tampa on Friday. So we'll be back here live on NYY Underground. We're not, I say here, like we're here, but we'll be back on, and we're audio only today, but we'll be back on NYYU live on Thursday night. So join us there. Subscribe to the U on YouTube, okay? And then as soon as this show is done, if you haven't done so already, subscribe to the NYYST podcast on this podcast platform you're listening to us on, and tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. We want to thank you for your continued support of the show, and thank you for listening to episode 460. Sem, say goodbye.
See ya.